Well, how many damn medals do you want him to win?
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Okay, great to have you with us here on this Tuesday afternoon, the 3rd of July. We'll have Charlie Fisher, the Penn State quarterback coach, coming up on Thursday. Next Tuesday, week from today, Curtis Strange from ESPN ABC, the two-time U.S. Open champ, will be on the show talking about the British Open with us. And also next week, we have Lift for Life. Some Penn State football players on to talk about that. 25 times like the All-Star game.
Okay, good, because I only did 24 so far.
One more, and then we'll see the tables turn.
Actually, no, I don't do. I didn't even do that for the All-Star game. I can't stand that. You vote one time, you're done. Get it over with. You know, move on. Next person votes. You shouldn't be able to vote 25 times.
Right. So you're upset that Michael Phelps may only end up with 22 career gold medals. I mean, only 21. That's the max he can get, 21 in his career. And you're disappointed.
Yeah, a little.
That he'll max out at 21.
No, not that he'll max out at 21. That you know, it's just the end of an era of the Olympics. It's watching his career come to a conclusion. Basically, is what you're doing now. It's hard to describe. I mean, I'm not, what you're saying makes complete sense, okay? I'm not debating that. But it's like watching your favorite player or watching somebody that you've followed for a long time and now it's coming to an end. It's sad.
So you think he won't come back in 2016 no matter what?
No, I don't think so.
He's left the door open.
Yeah, I know, but he's left the door open three times now.
Yeah, and he's coming back in 2012.
Right.
Do you realize what the original was out of 2008?
What the original what?
His original statement was out of 2008?
No, I don't remember what that was.
I'll probably go to the London Olympics in 2012. I'll probably swim at least four events.
I just don't see him doing it again.
So thus, under my theory, and using his own words, you, Kevin Herr, are getting three bonus gold medals to root for.
Okay. All right. That's a glass half full way of looking at it.
That's what this show's about. My glass half full. Yours, even though half full, to you, there's no liquid left.
Fair and balanced.
I mean, that's what we have here. That's what's on this show.
Oh, I'm not going to deny that I'm pessimistic. I can't deny that at all.
Does this carry over to your game broadcast?
No, it doesn't. At least
really?
I don't think it does. You've heard him.
I know.
I don't think it does.
I'm just trying to listen to you here. I mean, we listen to you on an everyday basis.
Well, but that's different.
You have
different.
Put yourself out to be a free agent to be picked up by any baseball team, and so far you've only had one offer from the Padres, and you rejected it.
This is different, though. This show is based on being able to throw out your opinions and your thoughts and your emotions. When you're calling a game, I'm just calling what's out there. I'm calling what I see. So that's not the same thing. I don't see that. Good comparison.
So you're a naturally pessimistic person.
Yeah, probably. That's probably true.
Really?
Yeah. I like to say realistic, but it's probably leaning more pessimistic than realistic.
Well, I think of the two of us, I'm the more realistic guy in the show.
I'm not denying that. And by the way, you're more than welcome to voice your opinion on this on the Let It Be Solar hotline at 800-795-9565 and pretty much bail me out of this conversation.
Bail you out of what?
Did I say that out loud? I'm sorry. That was my in-the-voice head or in-my-head voice.
I mean, You're disappointed a guy could end up with no more than 21 gold medals. You're disappointed. It would have been a nice story if Dara Torres made it, but still, what about the individual that ended up in her spot?
Oh, I think it'll be great to see somebody new. I mean, I'm looking forward to watching Missy Franklin. Missy Franklin's one of the rising stars in the Olympics. It's her first Olympics. There's a very good chance that she could be the next Michael Phelps, if you want to be able to look at it that way. So it'll be nice to see some of those careers blossom.
Yes, careers blossom. Dara Torres, to her credit, has had 5 wonderful Olympic Games.
No question.
It would have been a great story. I totally agree with you. It would have been a great story. So it's a miss. You move on. And it's not like she was 45, never made it, and it was the near miss. Now, that would have been difficult.
But yeah, she never would have done it before. Yeah,
she put in all the training. I do understand that she put in all the training, all the time, and everything to get herself done. I mean, it's a lot of work to put in for that one shot after 4 years. Well, Phelps, on the other hand, has 14 gold medals and 2 bronze, and you're in the tank because he can't. You know, he will never be able to reach the magic 22 number.
Well, you said the perfect example of what I really enjoy about the Olympics, and when you compared Dan Jansen there. That is an Olympic story that you'll never forget.
He has won.
Yes. And the trials and tribulations he's had every time he went in there, I mean, every time he skated, you were on the blade with him. You were on the edge with him every time he was on the ice because of his story.
Hmm. Yes, it was a great story. I was rooting for him, rooting very hard for him.
And that leads me to the other thing that I was going to say is, and that's why I like Bob Costas doing the Olympics, because he's a great storyteller.
Yes, he is. Outstanding storyteller. He is the Jim McKay of the new era.
No question.
And the perfect person to be in this spot. Great storyteller. Does it with incredible grace. Highly intelligent. And still carries a Mickey Mantle baseball card in his wallet.
I've heard that before, yeah.
Yeah. Now, I did not, the last time I talked to him, I did not ask him to produce it.
I would have liked to have seen it, though. Yeah.
No.
Now, Lampley doing the night show, if he does it again, he's too happy for that time slot. He needs to be a little more laid back, a little more prime time. He needs to be a little more West Coast prime time.
What are you talking about?
Didn't you ever watch the 11 o'clock show, the 11:30? He used to host the 11:30 on the Olympics on NBC. He would be the Bob Costas of the 11:30 show.
All right.
Which is more or less in the prime time in the West Coast. Costas is there. He's really kind of, I don't want to say, it's not monotone, but very laid back, relaxed, you know, storytelling. And then Lampley's a little more bouncy. It's too bouncy for 11:30 at night.
Yeah, well, that's 8:30 at night in the Pacific Coast.
That's true. But you don't see Costas doing that at 8:30 in the East Coast.
But everybody has their own style.
That's all right. That's a good point.
I mean, you can't have robots out there.
True. That's very true.
Now, everyone has their own personal preference. I mean, that's what happens in this particular business. You're out there. You put yourself out there. You just talked about how much you love Bob Costas' style.
Right.
You say you don't like Jim Lampley's style.
No. I said I like Jim Lampley a lot. I just think he's too upbeat for 11:30 at night.
But everybody has their own as to who they like in this business, and that's part of what it is. I mean, there are people today that will tell you left and right, you know, that how badly they miss Fran Fischer doing Penn State football. Okay. Then I totally understand that because Fran did a great job. He was a wonderful personality. People loved him.
Well, it doesn't mean they don't like you.
No, but I'm just saying, but everybody has their preferences, and I totally understand that. You know, on this show, there are some bitter people out there that see your point of view because you echo the voice of the bitter.
The voice of the bitter.
Then there are other people who have, you know, a more optimistic view on life.
Well, maybe you can answer this question for me because you have a lot of connections with the broadcast world. How did John Tesh become NBC's guy for gymnastics?
Well, John Tesh was a broadcaster for a long time at CBS before he went into music.
Well, I knew him on Entertainment Tonight.
No, he did sports. He did the.
I didn't realize that.
He did the 1983 NCAA Volleyball Championship in Rec Hall.
I did not know that.
On CBS, because I did radio. Penn State played USC, and it went 5, and Penn State won. And I'm talking, there were Olympians all over the place on these teams. Timmons was on USC. Penn State beat them in 5. Then Karch Karai was on UCLA, and UCLA won the championship. And I did the Penn State-USC matchup on radio, and I did Penn State-UCLA on radio. So I did the semifinal and the final on radio while John Tesh did that on TV for CBS at the time. So he actually had a background in sports broadcasting before he ever got into music, Entertainment Tonight, and, of course, the Olympics.
See, I knew him on Entertainment Tonight. I didn't know that he had any time as an anchor, reporter, sportscaster, or anything like that.
Yes. So that's where that comes from.
Oh, well, all right. Then that makes a little sense then.
Glad we could help you out.
See, this is an educational program.
It's what we do. But that's it. But again, that goes back to Rec Hall. John Tesh was in Rec Hall doing volleyball. You're in a state of shock.
I am. But then again, it doesn't take much to surprise me anymore.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. So, yeah. So everyone has their own style. Everyone, you know, and some people, their style matches up exactly with what your preference happens to be. And some don't.
But just like an actor, sometimes you get, you kind of get typecast into a role. You kind of get typecast into a sport as well.
You can be, no question about that. And Vin Scully is a perfect example of that.
Oh, absolutely.
Vin Scully of the Dodgers, one of the great baseball broadcasters ever and arguably the best ever. Many will argue that he's the best ever. But Vin Scully was a great football announcer. Vin Scully was great on golf. And when Vin Scully was at CBS, Vin was in the tower at 18. Pat was on 17. And on the Dwight Clark catch in the NFC Championship game, Vin Scully was actually the guy doing the play-by-play that day.
Yeah, I'd forgotten all about that.
Because when CBS had the Super Bowl in those days, they would alternate every year, CBS, NBC. When NBC had the Super Bowl, Pat Summerall and Tom Brookshire would do the NFC Championship game. But when CBS had the Super Bowl, Vin Scully did the NFC Championship game, and Pat and Tom did the Super Bowl. That's how they did it for several years. Kind of like a 1A, 1B thing. Fabulous announcer. That's what I always liked about Kirk Gowdy. Kirk Gowdy could call baseball. Kirk Gowdy could call football. Kirk Gowdy, for many years, was the voice of the Final Four. He could do basketball.
Well, you remember a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about some of favorite announcers of all time. And, you know, we were talking about Chris Schenkel, who's always now associated with the PBA Tour, but did a lot more than just the PBA Tour.
He was a great football announcer. He was the voice of the New York Giants for many years.
Harry Callis is another one, did a lot of radio football, but he's associated with baseball more than anything else.
Jack Ham loved working with Harry Callis.
Well, said, who wouldn't?
He's a great guy to work with. He's a lot of fun, a real gentleman, and a real character. And Jack has always said nothing but nice, nice things about Harry Callis. Worked with him for a long time on Westwood One. You know, you hear like Brad Sham, for example, doing basketball. I mean, Brad's known as the voice of the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, to me, if you're really good in this business, you can do multiple sports and seamlessly go from one to the other. I think that's a hallmark of somebody that's pretty good in this thing. You know, but it's up to you, the fan, as to whether you think that person's good or not. Our number, 1-800-795-9565. On the Lenape Solar Hotline. Jump in, join us. Love to hear you in the conversation. Kevin's disappointed in Michael Phelps not being able to go after 8 more gold medals. He's only going after a paltry 7. Thus, for Kevin, the Olympics are ruined. We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK after this.
Homeowners and business owners, listen up. What if you could make an investment in something that will never lose its incredible value? Invest in the most abundant commodity there is, the sunshine. Lenape Solar can show you how an investment in a photovoltaic or solar thermal energy system can pay you back through saving money and energy with a great rate of return. In fact, an investment in solar energy pays it forward to your great-grandchildren and to the planet's future. Lenape Solar is your trusted local source for solar energy and energy efficiency solutions. Experts in renewable energy legislation and incentives with professional and certified installers. Take the path towards energy independence by investing in solar energy with Lenape Solar. This is Tanya Diddy, and I invite you to schedule your free energy consultation today by calling 570-286-1496, visiting Lenape Solar at 140 South 2nd Street in Sunbury, or find us online at lenapesolar.com.
Welcome back to the show, 1-800-795-9565. On the Lenape Solar Hotline, Michael Phelps' reason for not going after 8 will certainly not make Kevin happy. But okay. It makes me happy when I read it.
All right.
4 years ago, we were trying to literally do everything. That was what we wanted to do. But at this point, my attitude is, let's go out. Let's have a little fun. Let's relax a little bit.
So he's going to enjoy this Olympics.
Phelps says, it's so much smarter for me to do that. We're not trying to recreate what happened in Beijing. This just makes more sense.
All right, I get that.
He's qualified in 5 individual events. He will focus on the 200 and 400 individual medley and the 100 and 200 butterfly. He will swim all 3 relays. You have to remember, it is not just swimming the final. In order to do this, you have to swim the preliminaries to qualify for the final.
No, absolutely. Yeah, 100% understand
that. Burr wants him to be a prune by the end of the third day, because he's going to be in the pool so much.
Listen, here's and you're gonna find fault with this.
And this is just for your own personal gratification. Just because the guy wants to relax and have a little fun.
Okay, here's the thing. If you've never, I understand he's been to the Olympics several times, but you wait 4 years to go to this event. You've got 1 week, and then you can go ahead and relax the second week and enjoy the Olympics. It's not like you're going to be swimming for 2 straight weeks. It's only 1 week.
You have to remember, Kevin, the difference between him and everybody else in this conversation is this.
He's got the talent.
No. I'm being deadly serious.
Oh,
here.
Okay. All right.
Okay. He's gone through it before where he's tried to swim 8. And he knows how intense it was to cram in all the qualifying for 8 and then cram in all the swims for 8 and the pressure of trying to get through it to win 8. So he has walked that road, and he's the only one that is capable of walking that road that knows how it feels. So he knows, after having the experience already, the intensity of it, the goal of it, also the number of swims it takes, that now he has looked at it older, mature, realizing he already has that accomplishment, that by just eliminating one, that'll be a few fewer times in the pool. and will free him up to then concentrate on these other ones where he feels he can do very well without having the pressure of having to, okay, I got to run back. Okay, I do this again. You know, after a while, it's smart to step back and say, hey, whoa, wait a minute. It's only one event. But that one event gives him a little bit more free time to relax because he's already lived it once.
Well, you know,
he's the one that has the personal experience that tells him that this is the right route to do it.
And you know darn well this is not going to be the last time he's going to be at an Olympics. I mean, if this is his last competitive Olympics, 4 years from now, he is going to be on somebody's broadcast somewhere along the line.
Well, sure he would be. I've talked to him. You know, he's very well-spoken.
Yeah. No question about it.
Yeah, you know, I mean, he's parlayed this. He has great commercial appeal. He does more than just the Subway commercials. He does others as well, especially within the world of swimming. So he's made his money outside the pool. But at the same time, he is the one person that knows the regiment that it takes to go to 8 events and try to win 8 gold medals. The time it takes, the intensity it takes, the pressure that there is, the constant running back and forth to the pool to do this. And I think he looked at all this and said, you know what? I don't need this. Yep. And we have enough other people on the team that will do very well.
All right. I have a question for you as well as anyone listening and can call in after the news. 26 Olympic medal events this year in the Olympics. What's missing? And if you could only have 26, what would you pull out to put in your favorite sport?
Well, I would have softball back.
I would agree.
I think it's ridiculous because the U.S. is so good at it, they dropped it.
I agree.
That's a dumb reason.
Yep.
If you want to be good at it, then go out and get better at it.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street at Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf and... our phone line open at 1-800-795-9565 on the Lenape Solar Hotline. You go to lenapesolar.com.
The question at the moment for the Lenape Solar Hotline is, there are 26 Olympic sports. What would you add that isn't an Olympic sport now? And what would you remove, or what would you remove from the Olympic sports?
Well, I wouldn't remove any, and I would add baseball, softball.
I would add baseball, softball. I would add bowling, but that's just me. I would remove badminton. I never understood how badminton was in the Olympics. Now, if somebody can explain it to me, I'm willing to concede that one, but badminton just doesn't make any sense to me in the Olympics.
I'll be honest with you. I don't ever recall watching badminton on TV as an Olympic sport.
I have.
I don't recall ever watching one.
I didn't watch it long.
I can't even tell you who's good at it.
I don't know that either, but it is an Olympic sport. It has been on TV briefly. It's usually on very late at night or early in the morning, as it were.
That's probably why I didn't see it. Look, I did mornings for 21 years. And, you know... gets to the point where you're like 10 o'clock at night, you're like, I can't make it. You know, the combination of, you know, getting up at 4:30 in the morning plus age.
That's a nasty combination.
It's a hard combination. You know, you spend enough nights coming back from Minnesota, Illinois, Wisconsin at about 3-4 in the morning.
Well, you know, beach volleyball was a very controversial sport to be added to the Olympics a few years. Well, it's been more than a few years ago, but it was a very controversial one because basically it was surrounded by beach, beer, and all of a sudden it became an Olympic sport. And then the questions were like, well, wait a minute, baseball, softball isn't anymore, but beach volleyball is, and that's something that's played around the world as well. Where do you make the decision there to eliminate those?
I don't know. That's something you have to ask the International Olympic Committee. Maybe they're not. I don't know. there's been more of a trend in the Olympic Games, like beach volleyball being one. But at the same time, you know, you look at the Winter Games, it's like watching the X Games.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no question.
You know, I have no issue with that at all. I'm just saying that they have gone and tried to trend toward what young people do and like. Well, maybe beach volleyball happens to be one of those things that young people trend to like. And maybe that has part of the trend. I don't know. That's all a case of absolute envy. Because the United States is so good at it and so dominant at it, they got rid of it. And it has everything to do, in my opinion, with that factor.
See, the summer... Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, I was just thinking that the summer sports right now are swimming, diving, synchronized swimming, water polo. Then you get into archery, badminton, basketball, boxing, kayak, cycling, equestrian, fencing, soccer, golf, gymnastics, handball, hockey, judo, modern hockey, by the way, is field hockey in the summer, modern pentathlon, rowing, rugby, sailing, shooting, table tennis, taekwondo, tennis, triathlon, the two volleyballs, weightlifting, and freestyle and Greco-Roman wrestling.
Okay. I would just add softball and baseball. I would like to see golf added.
Yes,
too.
That's what I was just about to say. I think golf should be a summer sport. I think bowling should be a winter sport.
Adding golf and have it set up as a major championship. I mean, you know, it won't be, you know, I'm talking about the setup as a major. I'm not saying it would be a major, but have the course set up in such a way where it's a major championship. And, you know, qualifying, whatever, but I think you would find, you know, there's so many great players around the world now. Atlanta tried to do this in 1996. They were going to add golf and they were going to play at Augusta National. But because of Augusta National's membership rules, people were like, whoa, okay, fine. You know,
it's Augusta National.
Okay. Okay. It's not Grassmere.
Actually, golf and rugby, as you were talking about that, I think they are coming back. They're supposed to be back in 2016 as Olympic sports. I'm not sure if
they're exhibitions. You've got to give Augusta National credit. When they were threatened years ago, they looked at the sponsor and said, don't worry, we got it. Now, I don't agree with their membership policy at all, okay? That's not my bag. But I do admire in some parts the chutzpah.
We'll take care of it. Don't worry.
Yeah, we got it. Don't worry about it. Like, okay. That's some membership. You can do that. That's some membership. I mean, you know, obviously, I think, you know, you'd like to see it to be wide open, freer, and so forth. I mean, but I remember when they did that, I thought, wow, not many people could do that.
Hey,
found that to be pretty impressive.
Hi, CBS on the line. We have lost a little bit of. Oh, you're going to cover that?
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks. Gotta. Bye.
But you know what they do though at Augusta National, and we'll get back to the Olympics in a second. Is that every single television contract's a 1-year deal, and they dictate that 56 minutes out of every hour must have golf.
Yep.
It's in the contract. Now, CBS has been the one that's acquiesced to that all these years, but they've all been 1-year deals. There's not a multi-year deal with CBS on golf. So, but the Olympic Games, golf, I would add, you know, and I think it would be fun to see, for example, Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson. I mean, you can do it in such a way where, you know, it's not just playing a 4-day tournament. You know, plus you're talking about women's golf, too.
Well, I mean, it's a sport that's played around the world.
Right.
That's why they have an international division.
There's an Asian tour. There's a European tour. Australian. The U.S., I think it would be very popular. And I think it would draw eyeballs. Now, would Tiger Woods, for example, go and represent the United States?
Oh, why wouldn't you? I mean, especially if it's coming back for the first time since 1900, 1904.
This guy wouldn't sign a golf ball for Brad Faxon for charity.
Yeah, but this is an ego thing now. I mean, basically, it would be the only thing forever you would hear, and the only thing that Tiger Woods hasn't won has been an Olympic medal.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't be able to handle that for too long.
Right. Well, I mean, this would have been one of the perfect times to do it. All the great, I mean, they could have taken them to St. Andrews.
Oh, yeah. That would have been, you're right. I didn't even think of that either, but you're absolutely right. It would have been a great way to reintroduce it. But yeah, 2016, it comes back. It was a medal event in 1900 and 1904, mm-hmm. men's and women's. And I think there was even a team event at that point for the men.
Okay. Now, in professional golf, let's take the men's tour, for example. It's difficult to fit in because they have their regular tour events and stops they have to make. Plus, I believe even years are Ryder Cup years, aren't they?
I think, but I'm not positive on that.
Even years are Ryder Cup years. And, you know, you're representing your country in that already, in the Ryder Cup.
Could this be the Ryder Cup?
No. It would not be the Ryder Cup. That's not how the Olympics work.
No, I'm saying could a team event be the same thing? Okay.
No. The Ryder Cup is Europe against the United States.
Okay. All right. So I didn't even think about that. You're absolutely right. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, and you can only have so many competitors from each country playing in the tournament, I would think. So, yeah, there's a lot to it. But yeah, baseball, softball, golf be the, you know. And those are things that Americans sit back, look. What drives the Olympics, okay? American television money. Okay, that's what drives it.
Well, in China. And China.
And China what?
China money.
No.
No, I would.
I can guarantee you it's you know, the Olympics are a lot like the UN. What drives it? United States money. Okay? I'm not joking.
No, I know. I was making a joke with a comment.
Fact is a fact. I mean, so, you know, the Olympics are like the UN. What drives it? U.S. money. That television contract with the United States and the advertising put in and so forth is what drives the Olympic movement. Your eyeballs watching it. You being interested in what's going on. You suddenly taking to a Michael Phelps, which gets you on board. You in years past taking to a Lance Armstrong. You in years past taking to a Dan Jansen.
Absolutely.
Now, I mean, those are things that, you know, the Dream Team 20 years ago, even though it was a rout every time, to see all of them together on the same team. That's what drives this thing. I mean, what drives it are television ratings in the U.S. and U.S. television money. I mean, believe me, the U.S. television rights are a little bit higher than the rest of than say the television rights for Belarus. All right, so.
You were talking about golf being tough to get in because of the time of year, but hockey does it very well. They take what, 2-3 weeks off from the NHL season so that the players can go play for their countries.
But. That's a conciliation.
Well, yeah.
You're going to have to look now at I mean, they won't shut down the U.S. tour. It won't. That's not going to happen. It's just that three marquee names representing the country, or four, whatever it happens to be, won't be playing in the.
But how is that different if you put everything in the right spots? If you play, if you don't have any majors in that time slot, in that 2-week period or 3-week period, how is that different than the regular tour now? I mean, you have different tournaments going on at the same time all over the country.
Well, say you did this. Say they played now. Yeah, the British Open is not next week. It's the week after.
Right.
It's leading into the Olympic Games.
Brilliant move, by the way.
Well, no. I mean, you have Wimbledon, then the British Open, then the Olympics.
That's what I mean. It's a brilliant move.
I mean, it's you know, they've got it nailed. But I think that... you'd have to fit it in. And they also have to come up with a format. Do you play it like a tournament where there are 160 individuals playing, or do you have, like any event? I mean, the United States will be allowed to have three, you know, the 200 freestyle, which is what Phelps is bagging, right? There'll still be three Americans trying to win medals. But the limit is three. You can't have more than three.
Right.
Well, is that how you do Olympic golf? No more than three. And how do you determine that? Or do you make it a wide open, typical field of 160?
How about the top three finishers at the U.S. Open? Top three American finishers at the U.S. Open, and that becomes your Olympic qualifier?
No. No, I don't think so.
What if you go by the... and
if I'm sitting there and I'm going to the Olympic Games, okay, and I want to give myself the best shot at winning, you know, I want Tiger Woods, Jim Furyk, Phil Mickelson.
Right, but how are you going to decide that?
No offense. I look at them. I say, I want you to go.
but you're not doing... But you don't...
I want you to go.
But you don't do that with any of the other sports. There's a qualifier for everyone.
Webb Simpson, you're staying home.
But there's a qualifier for every other sport.
Probably the top... If they say 12, then you say the top 12 in the FedEx Cup.
And if you think about it...
Top 12 FedEx Cup finishers.
But the U.S. Open is open to anybody who can qualify. Anybody.
I think they say it's 12 per country. Let's just say that.
All right.
I would go the top 10 in the FedEx Cup standings that are Americans, and two wild cards would be selected by the U.S.
I think you have to do it on the course. You have to make that. That's why I like the U.S. Open, because anybody can enter the U.S. Open. Anybody can. You don't have to be a professional. You can be an amateur. You can be a professional. You just have to qualify. And that would be no different than if you were going into any sport in the Olympics. You'd have to qualify your way through a regional qualifier, then get to this level, then you get to the Olympic qualifier, and then you would be able to go to the Olympics.
Okay. I think that they play an entire season. That's why I think they ought to go with the top 10 Americans in the FedEx Cup and two wild cards.
But then you're limiting it to only professionals.
Okay.
Well,
they're the best players in the world. Okay. I mean, I'm sorry. I'm not going to have the club champion over at Grassmere end up being the guy in the Olympic Games.
But
are you kidding me?
But the point I'm trying to make is no other sport just limits it to those type of players. Anybody has a chance to make it. That's what I'm saying. Even Michael in hockey.
Michael Phelps is a professional.
I'm not saying that he's not.
I mean, hockey, they're all professionals.
No, but there's still an opportunity there. Well, hockey's probably
what?
A bad example.
You're
hockey's a bad example, yeah, because that's a selected. And basketball's the same way. So those are bad examples. Absolutely right. Those are bad examples. But I never like when you choose your team. I think you have to earn your spot on the team. And you have to do it by somebody thinking you're good enough to make the team.
Nine times out of ten, the guys that they choose are usually pretty good.
I'm not saying that's not the case. Yeah. I just like to see you earn your way on, not because of what you've done.
I think you're chosen because of who you are, because of what you have accomplished. Okay? If they're not looking over there at Billy Brubaker and saying, hey, you know, I really like him a lot. Put him on the Olympic team. He's just a great guy. I have a choice between him and Phil Mickelson. Okay. I like Billy better. We're going to put him on.
But you don't think there's ever a choice in the Olympics that's, well, this player is more charismatic. This player has more sponsorship deals. This player can earn the USOC a little bit more money. I think we're going to put that player on, even though this player might be a little bit better.
When does that happen? Usually it's a coach that sits there and tries to blend a team together. When you're talking about team sports, one of the most important things that happens in team sports is sometimes a couple guys make it because in the concept of a team, they make the team better. That's why certain guys get selected.
How are they selecting the NBA, the Olympic basketball team?
Are they selected?
Yeah.
Well, the NBA sits down with Mike Krzyzewski and says, okay, what do you think?
Now, you what
certain guys do we need to have to make this go? And I'll give you a good example of this. In 2008, the guy they worked hard to convince to play in the Olympic Games was Kobe Bryant. And I wanted Kobe Bryant badly to be on that team for the United States because I felt in 2008, Kobe Bryant was the best player in the game. And Kobe Bryant was, in terms of being clutch, as clutch a player as there was in the game in 2008. And this is coming off what was a, for the NBA, disastrous Athens Olympics. They needed to step up with the best team possible. The one guy they weren't sure about going in was Kobe Bryant. And I thought to myself, they've got to get Kobe Bryant on this team if they want a realistic shot of not just winning but dominating the Olympics, because I felt he was the best player in the world. He's the one that took a little work and they got him on the team.
But you don't think there's anybody in the NBA that says, we want this guy on the U.S. basketball team because it's going to raise the profile of the NBA just a little bit more?
Yeah, but the reason that you're doing that is because you think that, you know, you think he's a really great player to begin with, and that's why you want to feature him.
Now, I'm not saying I know there's anybody on this team that I feel that way about. I'm just saying, you know, when we're talking about who to pick and you're picking players.
In Athens, they did the young gun team. You know, LeBron was on that team and Wade and those guys, and it didn't work out. They were too immature. It didn't work out in Athens. It worked out in Beijing.
Well, all right, here's an example of a guy that may or may not belong on the team, and I'm gonna let you make that decision because I'm not going to, but Jeremy Lin. Yes, he should be on the U.S. team. No, he shouldn't be on the U.S. team.
Well, part of the issue with this is Derrick Rose is out. Dwayne Wade's out. You have guys that are hurt right now.
Understand.
Tony Parker's French, and he may not be able to play anyway because of his eye injury. I mean, the guys I would turn to right away to run this team would be Deron Williams and Chris Paul would be my choices.
But Lin was asked and is withdrawing. Now, my question to you is, was he asked because he's the best player at that position that's left? Or Lin's sanity is going to carry over now to the U.S. basketball team and the NBA is going to benefit from that?
Well, no, but they're telling you, the Knicks, for example, have been talking with Steve Nash. I mean, you have to remember part of this, too, is which guys are free agents in the NBA.
Well, and
right?
Because yeah, I think he's a restricted free agent. Yeah.
I'm saying, though, if you're a free agent, you're not allowed to be in there. If you're an unrestricted free agent.
Yeah, he's restricted.
Right. So, I mean, you have to remember what the pool is. You can't have Steve Nash. Why?
I don't know. I'm go ahead and answer that question because I don't know the answer to that.
He's Canadian.
Now, that I did not know. Okay. Oh, that would, right? Yeah, he can't play.
Okay, so you can't have him.
He can't play for the U.S.
Okay, Tony Parker. Can't have him. He's French.
I was going to say, he's French. I remember that.
Right. Okay. So now you're starting to eliminate, okay, can't have him, can't have him. Wade's hurt. Can't have him. I'm not sure what the Deron Williams situation is, or Chris Paul. And there are also some guys that may turn it down and don't want to do it.
Right.
Have done it before and don't want to go. So, I mean, there are a lot of factors that get you to whether, because believe me, America was not fascinated whether Jeremy Lin was going to make the team or not at all. But sometimes factors are built in that say, okay, who's the next guy on our list? And it sounds to me like he was a next guy in the list. Okay, fine. Okay, he's not going to do it. Okay, but they need to fill a spot. You know, Derrick Rose is out. He would have been the point guard on this team. Yeah, he has a torn ACL.
And hold that thought because we have to take a quick break before we wrap up.
Quick break.
When you buy anything, isn't it best to see people who've been around for a long time, satisfying customers just like you all the time? Makes sense, doesn't it? So when you're in the market for a quality new or pre-owned vehicle, the only place to go is Sunbury Motors. They've been in business since 1915, partnering up folks just like you with a vehicle that best suits their needs and budget. Their service after the sale can't be beat. And if you like selection, there's none better than Sunbury Motors. Fords, Kias, Lincolns, Mercurys, Hyundais, Sunbury Motors sells them all. Their finance teams are unmatched. They'll be glad to help you secure the affordable option you want on any new or pre-owned vehicle you find on their lots. See the people who've been in business since 1915. Sunbury Motors Ford, Lincoln Mercury, and Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com.
Welcome back. 2004 in Athens, they tried what you talked about, Kevin, where they tried to put together a promotional team. You know, hey, here are the young guns. You know, they'll be able to go in the Athens Olympics and win. You know, there was a young team in 2004. Very young team. And they didn't fare well, except for Allen Iverson. And Iverson, by the way, to his credit, played his guts out. And but they didn't win. And I think they finished sixth or something like that.
I don't know. I stopped watching it after a while. I got to the point it was so depressing.
Yeah.
As much of the country did with me, I believe.
I guess they won the bronze medal. Okay. But that was the young team then. Argentina won it. Italy was second. And the United States was third. You're like, you have to be kidding me. Well, they changed their philosophy ever since. The NBA doesn't want to be embarrassed anymore. So they're not experimenting like they did in four.